Auto. My driver made an unrequested stop. I'm in a car. I'm in a car for which I have no license, no authority to drive. I can't drive. Full stop. Inside this vehicle, I am the passenger, a passive participant on the autobahn. Any barn. I simply open the passenger seat door and get seated. I look at the horizon ahead of me, waiting for the other person to turn the key to set us both in motion. I am in your hands. Ta hånd om meg. To drive a vehicle requires placing two hands on the steering wheel in order to move forward. Your life in the hands of the other, not as an act of care, rather as a carrier. Full stop, empty tank. I'm stranded. Pacing up and down the pavement is a different mindset than getting into drive mode. Speed limits do not apply to pedestrians. We walk at our own pace, with little danger of killing someone on our way from A to B, G, Z. 1 foot in front of the other, keeping your bipedal body away from anything moving faster than you. Observing, noticing, but without acting like a simple tourist. Keep cool, don't fall, trip, or stumble. Your head held high, supported by an erected spine. A wholesome bipedal body moving forward in public space. Within the car, the world is flat, composed of a series of straight lines to follow, disrupted only by the occasional bend, an odd curve. I am in your hands. Ta hånd om meg. The only way is forward. The only way. If forward. Auto. 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 So Greek, but so German. When I see the word in writing, the German au pronunciation appears in my head, similar to a wolf's howl. Auto. Authorship, autonomy, autobiography, autopsy, autobahn, autograph, the individuals, the selves. We become aware of who we are through the existence of others, hyphenating ourselves into our own identities. Auto-correcting ourselves in order to meet the other. Take me into your hands, both palms open. When I take the train westward, it makes a quick stop in Wolfsburg. The wolf's howl increases with the slowing down of the train as the Volkswagen factory appears on my right side. A big brown brick block, towering four big chimneys, a massive blue W faces us. Its surroundings are idyllic. The river running past it is lined by bright red poppy flowers, softly swaying in the wind. A seemingly unpolluted, peaceful place, abundant with poppy seeds. I know a woman who grew up here. Her parents live in a house which looks more or less like the neighbor's house, down to the smallest details. The door, the gate, and the stones that make a path between them. Her parents have placed a small stone fountain in their garden, and so has a neighbor. And so has the neighbor of the neighbor. And so has the neighbor of the neighbor of the neighbor. And so on. A hyphenated living. As the train leaves the platform, the heads of the poppies become a long, blurred red line, no longer distinguishable as individual flowers up until they are completely out of sight. Red, red. Red, 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 yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, red, yellow, 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 yellow. My dreams are streams of yellow. Taxi, taxi, taxi. I'm dreaming, dreaming of living in NYC and calling for a taxi. Dreaming of opening my mouth in a random busy street corner and shouting, taxi, taxi. I'm wearing a light beige trench coat. I'm on my way somewhere in this look, in this cliche. It's not the 80s, but it is the 80s. A taxi pulls up right in front of me, one of the many yellow cabs passing in front of me in streams. None of them registers me apart from this one taxi, my guy, who pulls up in front of me and says, "Hi, honey, where are you going?" My name is not Honey, but it sounds similar, a different kind of sweet. So I get in the car, but I don't know what to answer. Where am I going? What am I wearing? Am I wearing anything? Under this beige trench coat? Under this cliche? In dreams, you're always naked, but can never figure out why. It's not that you don't have clothes. You have so many things to pull over your head. So many things to cover up your limbs. So many things to make you part of society. The threads. You look at the driver, his face impatient. You say, "Drive straight, straight ahead." And then he asks. I tell him, "I'll make up my mind when we reach a corner. Honey." Auto, 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 how to, auto, autos, the Greek word for self. In the passive act of being a passenger, I take a lot of selfies in the rearview mirror. I observe myself as a passenger. Passive, selfish, vain, a body in transit. Rear view mirrors are flattering, slightly blurry, glossed over by the distance between you and the object. Perhaps I only look good in passing, a passenger at full speed, nothing but a glimpse of a face, even to myself. On my way somewhere, despite my lack of self-control, your hands, my will. Those who are attractive to us are often those that we only see in passing. Before you let the gore in, before you see the inside of their socks and the inside of their drawers and how they handle things like life and what's left of it. The distance between you and the object. But sometimes the gore is the best part. You want their fluids as much as their solids combined. An autodidact body, another self than your own selfishness. Take me to the Autobahn. Take me into both your hands. Carry me, caress me, selflessly, palms open. Electric. After several years of hesitance, I decided to visit my parents up north in winter. The day of my arrival, I came down with a terrible flu, a demonic headache so strong that my head seemed possessed by something wanting to exit through both my nose and eyes. At first, I thought the sound was only inside my own head, but I soon realized that the whole building was vibrating, not only my cerebral matter. On the ground floor, they were drilling holes into the concrete walls to fix new sockets for an increasing amount of electrical cars filling up the garage space. I lay there in my bed, not knowing what was the actual inside or the outside of my head, both of them pounding and compounding into one giant clamor. All I could seem to focus on was a row of pictures of myself from kindergarten, hanging on the wall above the bed in worn-out gold-lacquered frames. It was me, but not myself. An uneven blonde, bowl-cut, promising eyes, sitting in a barrel amidst a countryside romance of haystacks and a distant brown-flecked cow. I'm smiling, but only for the camera. The noise went on for days, and not only did it disrupt my general cognitive abilities, but it also interfered with some of the electronic connections in my parents' flat, causing the TV in their living room to short-circuit and reset its entire system to zero. The only thing it failed to get rid of was its name, Samsung TV Stua, which still appeared alongside other alien Bluetooth devices willing to connect to my phone, randomized digits and letters. HDJ8098YWYO2994ZKH18031. When I tried to connect to Samsung TV Stua, her body seemed empty, all settings erased as if her spine had been replaced by a transplant. While scrolling through the list of connecting devices available, the random screens, phones, and TVs residing in the building alongside the human beings, I came across XB1029, a pair of noise-cancelling headphones I left in a taxi in Paris. Seeing its name, my heart skipped a beat. I clearly remembered the ride from the train station, where the driver, an older woman, complained to me in French about how pedestrians in Paris act as if a car would never pose any threat or danger to them. "Mostly old men," she grunted, pointing at a man whose face was covered by a cap, hastily jumping in front of her car while we were stuck in traffic. I agreed, despite my lack of driving experience. "Oui, c'est fou," I said, and gave the man an ugly stare, even if his back was turned towards me in my malevolent gaze. As there was no nameplate attached to the back of his head, there was nothing we could report. 3 days later, when boarding my return flight, I found myself unable to connect to XB1029 and realized then that I left the headphones in her car. XB1029 was now miles away, listening to the driver cursing at the audacity of the Parisian pedestrians instead of me listening to them. Looking at XB1029 among the long lists of unfamiliar devices in my parents' building, my heart sank. Still, I remained unable to erase its name from the list of devices, unable to completely let go of the memory of its missing body, a lover once lost. It seemed like there were no devices left for me to connect to in the entire building, and so I was left to listen to nothing but my own pounding head, until I felt like a slab of concrete myself. Rolling Barts. "Cher Abdelhak, si vous pouviez déposer le livre que j'ai oublié dans votre taxi, Roland Bart, à la réception, il y aura une compensation pour vous dans une enveloppe. Vous pouvez venir quand vous voulez dans la semaine. Il est ouvert 7-7 et 24-24. Encore merci." The message was left lingering without a reply for 6 weeks, until I received a phone call from the residency reception that Abdelhak was waiting for me with the mentioned book, without any further warning. The English version of Fragments d'un discours amoureux had been on a month-long tour of Paris without witnessing any of its main attractions, as it was hibernating in Abdelhak's glove compartment at the front of his Volvo, a second-hand car he only acquired when Uber's new enforcements encouraged all drivers to upgrade their cars according to new globalized health and safety standards, including implementing a huge plexiglass spit guard between a driver and the passenger. Abdelhak does not want the petty 10 euros that I have left for him in the reception, despite the fortune that he has put into the pandemic spit guard at his own expense. Abdelhak just wants to roll his cigarette, and continue his job. He tells me that he was once a gardener, But the people he worked for went bankrupt, and all the bending down had been excruciating on his back. At least now he can sit. Sit and work. Sit and smoke while driving around town. Sitting is the new smoking, I have heard somewhere, and so I tell him what I've heard, but he doesn't really listen. Écoute or entendre, I ask, practicing my amateur French on this true local. There is a difference, apparently, I say, pretending to be an advanced speaker, but he does not reply to this arbitrary question. Listen, hear, there's a difference. A matter of attention, reading, browsing, running, walking, the tangibility of a tempo, movement within language as well as cities. Abdelhak doesn't care about the double whammy of his seated smoking life. After all, gardening seems toxic too. C'est pas mal, he says when I ask him what he thinks of his new situation as a supposedly self-employed driver. He doesn't seem to miss the plants or the green lawns much, destroying my romantic bourgeois idea of the joy of cultivating and growing, rather than polluting and puffing. Rolling barts, rolling on. Abdelhak has a 4-star rating. I give him 5, and stuff the envelope in his glove compartment. Roland Barthes is said to have died in 1980, shortly after a lunch with the presidential candidate Mitterrand and a few fellow intellectuals. As he was walking back towards the university, he was fatally hit by a passing laundry van, resulting in a late afternoon death at the early age of 64. When Abdelhak texted me out of the blue 2 months after our short Uber ride from the 3rd to the 10th, offering to return the book, we simultaneously replied from separate numbers with separate country codes, pretending to be one body. Multiple bodies can merge and become one in the body of a reply, through the singular body of a conversation. Still, I'm only human. Google, however, begs to differ. In order to book my flight back from Paris, I have to mark all the boxes that contain zebra crossings, followed by another one that asked me to check all the boxes that contain cars. There are no laundry vans visible in the grainy image selection. However, I'm confused by the pixelated random vehicles that seem like cars, but also not. I can't tell what I'm looking at, whether they are living beings or inert objects. Écoute, listen, hear, walk, cross, intersect. The whole idea of verifying my civilized flesh and blood through deciphering a selection of poor images places so much pressure on my human cognitive self that it incapacitates my ability to identify a basic rolling vehicle. It seems that I cannot tell a moving object from a fixed one once the pixels become too grainy. If I were to cross Paris under such blurry circumstances, my life would be over faster than you can say liquid lunch. Myself, I question the quantity of superior presidential wine they had consumed for lunch in that late afternoon of 1980. Perhaps just that little extra drop that pixelates the view and merges an object with a fixed one, dissolving multiple bodies into one, blurring out any navigational lines or white stripes laid out in front of you, marked, if anything, for your own safety. Paris drivers never respect these precautionary lines anyway. You have to make your own way forward in the city of red lights. If you can make it across the road here, you can make it across the road anywhere. It's hard to keep a clear focus when the world is so wonderful, so wonderfully pixelated, filled with a variety of solid and liquid pleasures. Tick all the boxes that tick all your boxes. The will to roll, the wheels will follow. Volvo, I roll, I loll. I move on, hoping not to be hit by utter fatal randomness again. It was such a bad hit the last time. Such is life, falling over 7 times, standing up 8, unless you're hit by a truck. Trucks. Funny fact, I was once hit by a truck. In fact, it wasn't so funny back then, but it's funny now, because it's nothing but a fact, and I'm fine. Actually, factually. In third grade, I'd changed schools, and yet 3 months in, I had yet to make any friends. After days of heavy snowfall, a thick layer of snow had accumulated on the ground. The kind of snow where creatures shorter than half a meter disappear when they are left to roam by themselves. As we finished school an hour earlier than usual, I walked out into the school's courtyard only to find myself on the ground within seconds, deep down on a cold heap of heavy snow, hidden by any surrounding onlookers. I looked up and saw that the ramp of the truck I had seen parked outside the entrance had been dropped down manually and struck me in the head. The minute I realized what had happened, I got up as fast as I could and told the driver who was standing over me that I was fine, as if my bright positivity could annul the incident as well as the fall. He said, okay, while giving me a stern, confused look, and got back into the driver's seat. There was more milk to be delivered that day than this man could handle single-handedly. I began walking home up the steep hill like every other day, but when I reached the top, I could feel something warm running down the side of my face, lining the left side of my nose. I looked down and the snow was red, an entire line of red trailing behind me all the way from the bottom of the hill. The outline of my fallen self left behind in the snow would be gone within the next few hours, obliterating both the incident and my fall. Snow is relentless. When spring comes with its light and flutter, all the small and big shit from both small and big dogs appear out of nowhere and melts with a downpour, creating one big brown trail all alongside the steep hills. Shit runs downhill sevenfolds in spring. During winter, everyone thinks that they deal with their own shit, but it's only when spring returns that it becomes evident that there are many who simply suppress facing the feces and only hope that it vanishes by itself. It doesn't. Full frontal collision. What is a glove compartment? A glove compartment is a compartment built into the dashboard of a car, located over the front seat passenger's footwell, often used for miscellaneous storage of miscellaneous things. Its name derives from the original purpose of the compartment, to store driving gloves. If we do not name the object or make use of it, we can forget it. We can close the drawer and look the other way. There are those who want to be carried, and there are those who carry. The car carries. The carrier carries. The body carries. Bags, loads, babies, worries, worlds, words. There are those who carry the bags of others without any questions asked. Up the stairs. Down the stairs, up the stairs, 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 down the stairs. If only there was an elevator. An elevator that could take me into its hands and carry me up to the top. There is no elevator available. No viable elevator available. Only a pair of human hands. But these hands can't carry me. But these hands can't carry me. My body, my worries, no human can. Auto, 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 auto. Auto. Ought to be able to drive myself, but I can't. No license. No authority. So I remain in your hands, your digits. Late at night, I inspect the number plates of the passing cars with my flawed eyesight. Audi BYW1099387, Toyota CM70723, HD J898, WYEUE E29394, ZKH18031U. When you see your driver's vehicle at your pickup location, confirm that the license plate number displayed in your app matches the actual vehicle. For safety reasons, drivers will often ask your name before starting the trip. Hand, Honey, Haney, Auto, How to? A car pulls over and honks twice, so I assume that it's mine since there's nobody else around. My fingers are too cold and stiff to pull out the phone to double check the numbers. As I get seated in the back, the driver turns to look at me and says, Joy? I look him in the eyes and I reply, No, no Joy. I'm sorry, he says. Sorrow? I ask. I need to find Joy, he says. Sorry, I say, and get out. It's getting darker the longer I wait. The longer I wait, the less my eyes are able to focus on the multiple license plates passing by. The little animated car on my screen is no longer moving, but stuck in the middle of a road for several minutes. It then continues driving onto a roundabout, looping without end. There seems to be no advancement for this ride, no forward, no geradeaus. As my index finger is about to cancel the ride, a car pulls over and honks at me. I look at the number plate. It fits perfectly with the number on my phone. The driver rolls down the window and says, Hand? I say yes, but I mean to say no. You are the hand. The hand that carries me home.
She wants the best for herself from now on. No more mediocre deals. No more lukewarm friendships. She wants to fully insert herself in situations. It is the end of September, and she has managed to miss the entire month. When pain au chocolat is not a treat anymore, that is when they shake their routines around. For instance, they can empty their bowels and start fasting. They can push themselves to write a few sentences daily. Soft chickpeas are ready to blend. It is not easy to change the pattern of one's life. Rethink how a day is panned out. Plan meals ahead. Start chopping. Sprinkle salt over red cabbage, cucumber, or carrots, and put them in airtight jars. In 5 days, they will be ready to open. While waiting, make a big pumpkin soup. You're not sure if you are ready to talk. 9 months have passed. You don't know if he's a keeper or a wanderer in and out of your life. Maybe you do Nike. Stand straight. Put your chin down. Gaze straight. Put your arms out. Make feast. Stand still. Roll your hips slowly in a circle in repeat.